We are starting chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, called Dobby's Reward. For a moment, there was silence, as Harry, Ron, Ginny, and Lockhart stood in the doorway, covered in muck and slime, and in Harry's case, blood. Then there was a scream. Ginny! It was Mrs. Weasley, who'd been sitting crying in front of the fire. She leapt to her feet, closely followed by Mr. Weasley, and both of them flung themselves onto their daughter. Harry, however, was looking past them. Professor Dumbledore was standing by the mantelpiece, beaming, next to Professor McGonagall, who was taking great, steadying gasps, clutching her chest. Fox went whooshing past Harry's ear and settled on Dumbledore's shoulder, just as Harry found himself and Ron being swept into Mrs. Weasley's tight embrace. "You saved her! You saved her! How did you do it?" "I think we'd all like to know that," said Professor McGonagall weakly. Mrs. Weasley let go of Harry, who hesitated for a moment, then walked over to the desk and laid upon it the sorting hat, the ruby-encrusted sword, and what remained of Riddle's diary. Then he started telling them everything. For nearly a quarter of an hour he spoke into a rapt silence. He told them about hearing the disembodied voice, how Hermione had finally realized he was hearing a basilisk in the pipes, how he and Ron had followed the spiders into the forest that Aragog had told them where the last victim of the basilisk had died, how he had guessed that Moaning Myrtle had been the victim and that the entrance to the Chamber of Secrets might be in her bathroom. "Very well, Mr. Potter," Professor McGonagall prompted him as he paused. "So you found out where the entrance was, breaking 100 school rules into pieces along the way, I might add. But how on earth did you get out of there alive?" So Harry, his voice now growing hoarse from all this talking, told them about Fox's timely arrival and about the sorting hat giving him the sword. But then he faltered. He had so far avoided mentioning Riddle's diary or Ginny. She was standing with her head against Mrs. Weasley's shoulder, and tears were still coursing silently down her cheeks. What if they expelled her? Harry thought in panic. Riddle's diary didn't work anymore. How could they prove it was he who'd made her do all that? Instinctively, Harry looked at Dumbledore, who smiled faintly, the firelight glancing off his half-moon spectacles. "What interests me most," said Dumbledore gently, "is how Lord Voldemort managed to enchant Ginny, when my sources tell me he is currently hiding in the forests of Albania." Relief, warm, sweeping, glorious relief, swept over Harry. "What's that?" said Mr. Weasley in a stunned voice. "You know who enchant Ginny? But Ginny's not. Ginny hasn't been. Has she?" "It was this diary," Harry said quickly, picking it up and showing it to Dumbledore. "Riddle wrote in it when he was 16. Dumbledore took the diary from Harry and peered keenly down his long, crooked nose at its burnt and soggy pages. "Brilliant," he said softly. "Of course, he was probably the most brilliant student Hogwarts has ever seen." He looked around to the Weasleys, who were looking utterly bewildered. "Very few people know that Lord Voldemort was once called Tom Riddle. I taught him myself 50 years ago at Hogwarts. He disappeared after leaving the school, traveled far and wide, sank so deeply into the dark arts, consorted with the very worst of our kind, underwent so many dangerous magical transformations that when he resurfaced as Lord Voldemort, he was barely recognizable. Hardly anyone connected Lord Voldemort with a clever, handsome boy who was once head boy here." "But Ginny," said Mrs. Weasley, "what's our Ginny got to do with him?" "His diary," Ginny sobbed. I've been writing in it. He's been writing back all year." "Ginny," said Mr. Weasley, flabbergasted, "haven't I taught you anything? What have I always told you? Never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brains. Why don't you show the diary to me or your mother? A suspicious object like that was clearly full of dark magic." I didn't know," sobbed Ginny. "I found it inside one of the books Mum got me. I thought someone had just left it in there and forgotten about it." "Miss Weasley should go to the hospital wing right away," Dumbledore interrupted in a firm voice. "This has been a terrible ordeal for her. There will be no punishment. older and wiser wizards than she have been hoodwinked by Lord Voldemort. He strode over to the door and opened it. Bed rests, perhaps a large steaming mug of hot chocolate. I always find that cheers me up, he added, twinkling kindly down at her. You'll find that Madame Pomfrey is still awake. She's just giving out mandrake juice. I dare say the basilisk's victims will be waking up at any moment. So Hermione's okay? Said Ron brightly. There's been no lasting harm done, said Dumbledore. Mrs. Weasley led Ginny out, and Mr. Weasley followed, still looking deeply shaken. You know, Minerva, said Professor McGonagall thoughtfully to Professor McGonagall, I think all this merits a good feast. Might I ask you to go and alert the kitchens? Right, said Professor McGonagall crisply, also moving to the door. I'll leave you to deal with Potter and Weasley, shall I? Certainly, said Dumbledore. She left, and Harry and Ron gazed uncertainly at Dumbledore. What exactly had Professor McGonagall meant to deal with them? Surely they weren't about to be punished. I seem to remember telling both of you I would have to expel you if you broke any more school rules, said Dumbledore. Ron opened his mouth in horror. Which goes to show that the best of us must sometimes eat our words, Dumbledore went on, smiling. You will both receive special awards for services to the school, and, let me see, yes, I think 200 points apiece for Gryffindor. Ron went as brightly pink as Lockhart's flowers. Ron went as brightly pink as Lockhart's Valentine flowers and closed his mouth again. But one of us seems to be keeping mightily quiet about his part in this dangerous adventure. Dumbledore added, Why so modest, Gilderoy? Harry gave a start. He had completely forgotten about Lockhart. He turned and saw Lockhart was standing in the corner of a room, still wearing a vague smile. When Dumbledore addressed him, Lockhart looked over his shoulder to see who he was talking to. Professor Dumbledore, Ron said quickly, there was an accident down in the Chamber of Secrets. Professor Lockhart... Am I professor? Said Lockhart in mild surprise. Goodness, I expect I was hopeless, was I? He tried to do a memory charm, and the wand backfired, Ron explained quietly to Dumbledore. Dear me, said Dumbledore, shaking his head, his long silver mustache quivering. Impaled upon your own sword, Gilderoy. Sword, Lockhart said dimly. Haven't got a sword. That boy has, though, he pointed at Harry. He'll lend you one. Would you mind taking Professor Lockhart to the infirmary, too, Ron said, Dumbledore said to Ron. I'd like a few more words with Harry. Lockhart ambled out. Ron cast a curious look back at Dumbledore and Harry as he closed the door. Dumbledore crossed to one of the chairs by the fire. Sit down, Harry, he said. And Harry sat, feeling unaccountably nervous. First of all, Harry, I want to thank you, said Dumbledore, twinkling. You must have shown me real loyalty down in the chamber. Nothing but that could have called Fawkes to you. He stroked the phoenix, which had fluttered down onto his knee. Harry grinned awkwardly as Dumbledore watched him. And so you met Tom Riddle, said Dumbledore thoughtfully. I imagine he was most interested in you. Suddenly, something that was nagging at Harry came tumbling out of his mouth. Professor Dumbledore, Riddle said, I'm like him. Strange likenesses, he said. Did he now? Said Dumbledore, looking thoughtfully at Harry from under his thick silver eyebrows. And what do you think, Harry? I don't think I'm like him, said Harry, more loudly than he'd intended. I mean, I'm in Gryffindor, But he fell silent, a lurking doubt resurfacing in his mind. Professor, he started again, after a moment. The Sorting Hat told me I'd have done well in Slytherin. Everyone thought I was Slytherin's heir for a while, because I can speak Parseltongue. You can speak Parseltongue, Harry, said Dumbledore calmly, because Lord Voldemort, who is the last remaining descendant of Salazar Slytherin, can speak Parseltongue. Unless I'm much mistaken, he transferred some of his own powers to you the night he gave you that scar. It's not something he intended to do, I'm sure. Voldemort put a bit of himself in me, said Harry, thunderstruck. certainly seems so. I should be in Slytherin, Harry said, looking desperately into Dumbledore's face. The Sorting Hat, he could see Slytherin's power in me and put you in Gryffindor, said Dumbledore calmly. Listen to me, Harry. You happen to have many qualities Salazar Slytherin prized in his hand-picked students. His own very rare gift, Parseltongue, resourcefulness, determination, and a certain disregard for rules, he added, his mustache quivering again. Yet the Sorting Hat placed you in Gryffindor. You know why that was. Think. It only put me in Gryffindor, said Harry in a defeated voice, because I asked not to go to Slytherin. Exactly, Dumbledore said, beaming once more. Which makes you very different from Tom Riddle. It is our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are far more than our abilities. Harry sat motionless in his chair, stunned. If you want proof, Harry, that you belong in Gryffindor, I suggest you look more closely at this. Dumbledore reached across to Professor McGonagall's desk, picked up the blood-stained silver sword, and handed it to Harry. Dully, Harry turned it over, the rubies blazing in the firelight, and then he saw the name engraved just below the hilt. Godric Gryffindor. Only a true Gryffindor could have pulled that out of a hat, Harry, said Dumbledore simply. For a minute, neither of them spoke. Then Dumbledore opened up one of the drawers in Professor McGonagall's desk and took out a quill and a bottle of ink. What you need to do, Harry, is get some food and sleep. I suggest you go down to the feast while I write to Azkaban. We need our gamekeeper back. And I must draft an advertisement for the Daily Prophet, too, he added thoughtfully. We'll be needing a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Dear me, we do seem to run through them, don't we? Harry got up and crossed to the door. And I think we're going to stop there. I hope you liked that, Kitten Boo. And it's time for bed because it's super late. Sleep well, beautiful. I love you. Good night.